So we begin with the earth breath. We're concentrating our glance at the tip of the nose. Oh, one more thing I should say. We're going to do this in a rhythmic fashion, and we're all going to keep the same rhythm. So I will say in, out, in, out. There's a reason for that. Remember when Purunamayi said we have to unify our breath and so we can accomplish something. And I've asked Hidayat about this, and he said that he remembers as a child that there was a huge metronome at summer school. Mm. And it was used to keep the rhythm, everybody on the same rhythm. And if you think about it, at that time, at the infancy of the birth of the message, Anayat Khan was really trying to get everyone on the same page. You know, it's like, let's get this, let's get it. You know, because remember he was said, I need 10,000 workers, or I don't know, what was that quote, 100,000 workers, you know, to do this work. The work isn't about Anayat Khan, and the work isn't about Sufism, and the work isn't about the message. The work is about humanity. It's awakening humanity to the heart of its own humanity. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's toward the one united with all.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so the breath is one way that you can do that. And I've often said at the classes in Kansas City, which, by the way, we do them once a month. They're afternoon session from 2 to 5 once a month. You know, caravan up there and hang out with us. We'll find places for you to stay or whatever if you want to stay the day or night. But, you know, come. But I've often said if we didn't use anything, I'm sure that we'd all sync up eventually. We'd probably all be in the same breath anyway, you know. Mm-hmm. But I will keep that count for us. And the breath in for the elemental breaths is we breathe into the count of 4 and out to the count of 6. Again, a longer exhalation. If you can sit with your spine somewhat straight, it helps to facilitate the movement of the breath and also the flow of energy. The glance is down toward the tip of the nose. There we see a radiant light in the color gold, and we breathe that light in through the tip of the nose. Now, one other thing, look up here. It's like you're breathing the light in through here. Like, you know, if I could take a stick and poke it through here, it'd come out the back of my head. You're breathing the light in, and it's hitting here. To stimulate that area. Kind of that parasympathetic part of the brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going up here at the center of the head where the pineal gland is. You understand what I'm saying? This is not hocus pocus. This is science. This is doing something to your body. Then the forehead, you may feel, you bring the light in here. And the crown, and then opening up the fontanelle, as Murshida Vir would say. So it's actually doing physically something to the hormones, to the nerve centers, to this nerve that runs up before it makes that return journey down.
You're talking about the pineal. It's the pineal in all three areas?
No. It's actually, I think the pineal is more like right in here.
Right.
Yeah.
That's sort of funny.
Yeah.
So here you're saying it goes right
into the
brain.
Yeah, but it's not going around, it's going through to here, to the parasympathetic part of the brain. And then here, sort of in between that part and the pineal gland, which would be sort of right in here. And then the crown, yeah.
The light's coming out from the crown?
Mm-hmm. No, not at that point. In the air element, you're feeling the radiation of the light here, and you're absorbing it.
Okay. It's just sort of radiating.
Do you have anything to add from your murshid, Hakima?
I never could imagine where this light came from, but it was sort of coming from space toward me. That was the image that I got. Is coming from what is some direction? Is it being from some place out there?
Okay, that's good. I think the instructions are just to kind of keep that concentration fairly close. I know that there's interesting meditations that come from the Theravadin tradition of Thailand about breathing in that orb of light and letting it rest at certain places while repeating certain affirmations. So these are all connected. I mean, the more I learn and study and practice, I see that there's this, kind of fusion of things. But, just kind of visualizing it rather near and then allowing it to penetrate through. Okay? It's kind of cool, isn't it? Not just cool, it's very cool. I mean, this learning stuff is pretty neat, huh? Yeah. I'm always excited. It's like I always tell my students, I don't know how you can walk around like this. It's like, I don't know why you're not out there doing cartwheels and somersaults and backflips in the hallway just to be learning. Yeah, exactly. No, that's true. The first day in class, I was sitting, and this boy said to me, there's 20 people in the room. And he's like, do you meditate? And it was like, well, actually, yes, I do. Why would you ask that? He goes, I can just tell. I can just tell by the way you're sitting that you meditate. I was sitting, but it was like, he said, and I have to say, it has a very calming effect. He could feel it. I mean, he was receptive. And then he went on to share that his younger sister is a Down syndrome child. Mm-hmm. And he spends a lot of time and has a very wonderful relationship with her. Mm-hmm. And that he observes her and feels that she has taught him so much about being natural. I mean, this kid really has a lot. But I can also tell that he's been a real cut-up in his life, so I've got some work to do with him. But he's there, and he's smart. But, he kind of doesn't even know it. So.
You say he's 20?
They're in their 20-somethings, yeah. This one is. I have some older students, but he's young.
He's more awake than a lot of them.
No, it's really great. I'm really trying to encourage him. So. Teaching is just a vehicle for many other things that we're teaching. So begin with casting the eyes towards the tip of the nose. There we see that golden orb of light appear. We breathe in and we allow the light to penetrate through, touching the back of the nerve coming up from the spine. And we breathe in the nose and out the nose. So start with an exhalation. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. In. Out. In, out, in, out, in, out. In, out. In, out. Feel that element of earth. Continue the breath in and out the nose, visualizing the gold moving in through and touching the nerve at the back of the head. Draw from the element of earth. Earth gives us stability. Earth gives us confidence. Earth gives us certainty. Allow the glance to shift to the bridge of the nose. There you visualize an orb of green light radiating. The breath is in the nose and out the mouth. The motion is in a vertical line in the downward direction. So just get the breath. See the visualization, and then we'll go to a rhythmic breathing pattern. Start with an exhalation, breathing out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in the nose, out the mouth. In, out. In, out. In, out. In, out. In, out. Feel this invocation of water, the element that teaches us to move gracefully and easily around obstacles, the element that cleanses us, baptizes us, the element that brings life to the planet. Element that can help us to accomplish our goals by moving and gracefully moving forward in a rhythm. We allow the glance now to shift up, or we actually will it. We don't just allow it, we're willing it to move to the center of the forehead. there we see this red light radiating. We breathe in the mouth and out the nose. In the mouth and out the nose. The motion is rising like the flames of the fire. The element of aspiration. And as we breathe this, we feel this penetrating light move through the head. It's like we're creating this beautiful rainbow of light as we move up. The breath is in the mouth and out the nose. Concentration at the center of the forehead, red. And breathe out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, in the mouth, out the nose. In, out. In, out. In, out. In, out. In, out. Feel the presence of the element of fire. Raising our consciousness higher, illuminating our awareness, the element of aspiration, the element of respectfulness, like a flame rising. One would rise when somebody of a respectful nature walks into the room. One should naturally want to rise like a flame, offering respect. And the glance now goes to the crown. See there a radiant light of blue, sky blue. The breath is in the mouth and out the mouth. We start our rhythmic breathing pattern by breathing out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, in the mouth, out the mouth. In, out. In, out. In, out. in, out. The element of mind, of inspiration, of creativity. You may notice that without traveling outside, stay present, but also aware you can hear the air element has become more active outside. We're invoking these elements, we're paying them homage, we're praying to them. We know that we are nature. We are part of this. It's a part of our bodies, our sustenance. We offer our breath in prayer to these elements. Let the glance go up high, and there you see this beautiful orb of light that's reflecting all the other colors. Its nature is white, but you see the other colors in it. Let the glance go high, the eyes look up. And the breath is in the nose, in the nose and out the nose. And let it become as if, imagine what the breath becomes after sitting in a cave alone in meditation for long periods of time. The vibration becomes very pure, and the breath is very subtle. And we're completely bathed in light, the experience of light. And we're breathing that light and life in, and we're radiating it the same. Etheric element, there's no rhythmic breathing. It's just a natural rhythm that has evolved through the other elements. Continue with the breath, stay present. You might notice the consciousness sort of dipped a little bit with the activity. See if you can use the breath to hoist it back up. Just get your attunement again. Go to that subtle breath. Keep the visualization. Allow your consciousness to be lifted out of the ordinary into the supra-ordinary. and the group can help. We help each other rise. We support each other in this practice. By the study of mysticism, one finds that man's life depends upon the working of the centers. Generally, the centers are blocked up on the inner side of the body. Therefore, they give but a dim light. If the breath be pictured as a gas, if the breath be pictured as a gas and centers as lanterns, when the centers are not in a fit condition, they are wasted. Mm. Not only this, but man is deprived of the full experience of life. Can we read the story again?
It's good.
Isn't it great? It's like, do it again. It's so beautiful. I mean, he gives us these really wonderful... I mean, if one just also sat with that visualization in meditation and do the elemental breaths and then sort of check into the centers and see the quality of light and think of those centers as lanterns.
And this one?
Lanterns. You know, and how brilliant are those lights. By the study of mysticism, one finds that man's life depends upon the working of the centers. Generally, the centers are blocked. Generally, the centers are blocked up on the inner side of the body. Therefore, they give but a dim light. if the breath be pictured as a gas and centers, these centers, as lanterns. When the centers are not in a fit condition, they are wasted. Not only this, but man is deprived of the full experience of life. Powers that are considered supernatural become natural when man leads a natural life. So these power, you know, clairvoyance, clairaudience, sort of precognitive experiences, premonitions, intuition. Powers that are considered supernatural become natural when man leads a natural life. The first lesson of a natural life is right breathing. Many people breathe a half breath, many a quarter, and many still less. Many diseases, such as lung diseases and nervous diseases, can be avoided by right breathing. Now, pay attention, because I've gone from the power of breath into the culture of breath, and he's repeating himself here. You see, he said before, many diseases are caused by not right breathing. Well, again, we've lost context. We have to now know. He's moved to a different city. He's teaching a different group of people, but he keeps emphasizing this. Wherever he's gone and traveled, he's thinking this is important enough that he's repeated it, but now it's gotten sort of codified in these volumes, and now it seems like, well, we knew that, we read that. But you have to remember the context where he was giving this teaching, and he thought it was important enough to repeat it again to a different audience. Many diseases, such as lung diseases and nervous diseases, can be avoided by right breathing. It is a certain direction that the breath takes that brings about sleep. And it is the direction of the breath that brings vigor or fatigue. A man may, by the help of breath, become stronger by doing physical exercises, leapfrog. And another, by physical labor, may become exhausted and worn out. The laborers in India who have to lift heavy weights have a certain way of breathing. And by understanding this, they can lift a great deal and work a great deal, and yet feel little fatigue. How many people have seen the coolies in India? They're usually not very big people. And I can remember, you know, and they've managed, you know, they know this whole idea of, you know, pulleys and ropes, and they're able to sort of pull things up and get them on their back in a certain way. And then in the middle of, like, this most oppressive heat, you know, they're walking, but they're doing like this. They're very concentrated in that breath, you know. And they can work long hours, and they're incredibly, you know, it's like in Dharamsala, I mean, they're always hanging out. They're waiting for work, you know. It's, where's the next bus coming? You know, they're ready to shimmy that luggage down and start carrying it. I mean, from morning till night, you know. But they understand this science of breath, for sure. They wouldn't be able to do it. There are many reasons why, and animals too. I'll tell you, I really am always inspired by those little work donkeys and horses there. They can be carrying more than their own weight on those side packages with the bricks and things, and they're just like this. And they, of course, they have this little way with their ears, you know. They kind of, they're always very perky, but they also do this, you know, they're really sure-footed and they walk in a certain way, you know. They're just, and they're all in a line, you know, and they have their rhythm, and you know that they're in their breath. I mean, you can learn so much by just observing these amazing creatures, you know. The cow's the same way. You know, just the way they eat and they move. I mean, amazing. You know, just watch their breath, tune to their breath and see. You know, like get into that rhythm, see what they know. They know a lot. There are many reasons why people in general do not breathe rightly. But one among them is a lack of education in this. And back here he says, every Brahmin teaches his child a way of breathing when he's 9 years old. As it is a common thing that everybody breathes incorrectly, it rarely occurs to the mind that one's breath is incorrect. Why nine?
The age of nine. The first thing I think of is the corpus callosum, where all the nerve endings come in the back of the head, actually fully integrate.
Can you say it louder?
Wow.
At that age. Is that right, at that age?
Yeah, it's about 8 or 9 years of age.
Louder.
Sorry. 8 or 9 years of age, the corpus callosum, which is where all the nerve endings in the back of the head all come together and they integrate. For children, that's when the left side and the right side of the brain actually completely meld and integrate. And so that's what I think of when I think of 8 or 9 years of age. It's parents that get all freaked out about their kids who are writing backwards, upside down. And as a special ed teacher, you don't much phase on it. Till they're about 8 or 9 years of age, because you know that that hasn't happened until that age.
It's the corpus
callosum.
It's also the time when usually, you know, you wait till that time to start teaching a child to play the piano or something, because you do need all of it working together to be there.
Yeah, it's interesting in India that the parenting style is very different. You know, it's, I mean, you think that they're absolutely not paying attention to the kids, because they're like, you know, they're just letting them wind down till, you know, they get a little bit older, 8 or 9 years old. But I'll tell you, at that point, and I've gone, you know, I've gone to the schools, I've sat in, sometimes the educators, because I'm an educator, they ask that I speak to the children, and they can sit there for hours in perfect discipline. No fidgeting, no looking, no picking, no, you know, nothing. They're very disciplined because, again, you know, they're understanding, they're going to the temples, they're doing the, you know, the practice with their parents, and they have a kind of, you know, poise about them. And they also know the value of education, I can tell you that. They don't take anything for granted.